this Easter day, the day which we celebrate is a day of victory which our Lord Jesus Christ has gained for us. When he arose from the grave, the power of death was defeated. The grave was not able to hold him. And it signifies this, that truly there is no greater power in heaven or on earth than that power which is from God, our Father. And this power was made known through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. By faith we believe that as he was resurrected from the power of death or from the grave, gaining that victory, then we in him have access to that same victory when we believe that he has accomplished it for us. The apostle here then reminds Timothy with much soberness and most of all godly love. As we know that God through his Spirit inspires that godly love in his children one to another. And we might say especially to the young people, one reason might be that those of us who have passed through the stages of growing up have had many experiences. Some of us have had some bad experiences where we have made mistakes. Some of them very grievous. By the grace of God, we have been relieved from those sins, even those sins of youth, and had them forgiven through the name and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are forgotten by our Heavenly Father. But we might also mention that when previous sins are committed or one falls into sin, there is often a scar left. There is often an opportunity for the enemy of the soul to point and even try to cause that wound which has been healed by the blood of Christ to be open. And for that reason, it would seem that especially at this moment, the Word of God would want to give this loving advice and warning to the young, that when, even through the meeting which we had last night, touching on very current matters which are close to the young children and the young, and even to the older, that this is an example of the love which God had for you and I. He wishes to warn us of the dangers so that we would not fall, so that we would not be even unknowingly deceived. Because as we hear so often, Paul, it is sin that causes one to become separated from the children of God or from the kingdom of God. And we know that a separation from the kingdom means this, that we are then outside of the great covenant. We have lost that precious promise of salvation. So here even the apostle tells Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. That is that each day we rise a new creature in Christ. Each day we believe anew in that great gospel. We need that gospel each and every day, as we know that yesterday's faith has passed and does not help us today. We must believe each day anew. And when the apostle says that thou stir up the gift of God, that is that it is ever present in our hearts and minds of this promise of salvation which we had, that it would not become old, or that it would become a matter of tradition, or become just some type of a practice which we have feel we are obligated to. No, it is a living faith. And in order to keep this faith alive, we need food. And that food is, of course, from the gospel. Even as our natural body needs food every day, or if we went too many days without any food, death is a sure result. So it is in our life of faith. We need that heavenly food to sustain life. And in this stirring up the gift, is that first of all, we seek, we long for, and we keep fellowship with brothers and sisters in faith. We do not want to become entangled with the ways of this world and with the fellowship of this world, for they are led by the enemy of the soul. And if we would become so attached to those worldly fellowships, worldly gatherings, and worldly doings, we subject ourselves to a very dangerous thought. But when we seek that companionship and fellowship with the children of God, we have within our hand's reach, we might say, brothers and sisters who are endeavoring as we are, and to whom we can turn in time of trial or trouble or sorrow. And to these brothers and sisters, we can't hear those words of life, that receive that food of life for our undying souls. We have this blessed freedom as children of God. We need not be bashful or backward, but be free and open. And as we find ourselves in need, be free to ask for forgiveness for our weaknesses and our failures and doubts. And even as we feel so unworthy, feeling our own wretchedness, if we do not have anything in particular, yet the blessing of the gospel has the power to uplift us and give us, renew our hope, and give us strength to take a few more steps on this journey of faith. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is truly so that the Spirit of God does not cause us to fear and tremble, but rather it is a spirit of love, a spirit of grace and forgiveness. And it is also a spirit that directs and teaches and leads. The spirit of the enemy of the soul, which is a deceiving spirit, would want to teach a young child of God, especially, that you are young and you have many days ahead of you. Why restrict yourself to such a narrow-minded group? Or even this way, that even do not leave that group, but come and take part with those who are in this world. Enjoy yourself with some of these harmless looking enticements. Satisfy some of those lusts, those natural lusts which we have all been born with. These teachings of the enemy of the soul are at times very convincing, and we cannot underestimate the power of the enemy of the soul. But the Spirit of God would want to teach us and guide us on this way of life to avoid and to fight against those dangers, those enticements, and those lusts which come upon the heart and mind. And the Spirit also wants to encourage that we would put away all manner of sin, all manner of doubts and fears, in the name and in the precious blood of Christ. As it has often been preached in the kingdom of God, that if there is anything the devil will flee from, it is the blood of Christ. He knows that he has no power over this. And the blood of Christ is so abundant that we need not fear that there would not be enough. It is that sprinkling blood which is sprinkled, so that all can receive a drop or two, sufficient to wash away all sin and defilement. This is the power which we have, brothers and sisters, young and old, to fight against the enemy of our souls. Be not so therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I would suppose you, brothers and sisters, have, as I have experienced it from time to time, where our flesh becomes so ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If we are in the midst of unbelievers and another brother or sister comes and extends his hand to greet us, does not the flesh tremble? Often we wish that we could avoid such a situation. And even the voice becomes almost a whisper when we greet or return a greeting. But we know how weak and poor we are, even in this. And we do not want to be ashamed of this gospel of salvation. But how many times we become overcome by this, our flesh and blood. It can happen also, as the apostle here tells Timothy, not to be ashamed of him. It can happen if, for example, a fellow brother or sister is maybe known to some unbelievers and has maybe at one time or another confessed his faith to them and has encouraged them to come on to repentance, and that we should meet under these conditions with that brother or sister. How easy our flesh can be ashamed of even knowing that person. But even in these failings, brothers and sisters, we need not despair, because Jesus knows how weak and poor we are, even in these, we might say, smaller matters. But he offers his grace and forgiveness and gives us strength even at a later time when such an occasion might come to boldly confess our faith and maybe even try to encourage an unbeliever to consider his state of unbelief, to consider the importance of having his matters correct before God. This is being a partaker, the apostle here says, of the afflictions of the gospel, and according to the power of God. Here again we cannot, with our own power, stand even for a moment, but buy into that power which our Heavenly Father gives unto us. Are we able to endure these afflictions and these trials and these temptations? Being all partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Here we see Paul, as the apostle believes, and all believers, that it is God, our Father, who has called us. And as he says here, a holy calling. Martin Luther also explains in the third article of the Creed called, I believe that I cannot with my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me to the gospel, enlightened me by his gift, and so forth. This is a holy calling when it comes from the kingdom of God, from children of God who have already received this gift of grace and forgiveness, as we have already heard today in our service. And he says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Think of the love that God has given unto you and I, brother and sister, that he has called us, that he has so lovingly invited us, and that he has given us the heart to believe, that he has given us his word of promise, that if we remain steadfast in obedience of faith, we will receive the crown of life. This was already ordained before the foundations of the world. This way of salvation was established and through a long period of time, through many events which had to take place, to make manifest that new power of God. And then, through those Old Testament years, how God spoke through those holy prophets, making known that way of salvation, and prophesying of that Savior who was to come. With these works of redemption being completed, God made a new covenant. He established through his dear Son a kingdom where he dwells by and through his Spirit to call men unto repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And also this office of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide those whom he has to teach them the way of salvation. As the apostle here said, but it's all made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. symbolical. As you already mentioned, on the election day, the day of victory, surely your disciples who experience the work which Jesus had done were then inspired by the Spirit of God to bring this great news, this word of salvation, to all who would believe. And they did fulfill that command which Jesus had ordained them to do. And it is still being fulfilled even today. And Jesus has said that he'll be with his own, even on the end of the world. And so we believe, brothers and sisters, that in the kingdom of God, you do have the King of Kings, the Lord of Life, who is ever present to teach us and to guide us, and to reach out those nail-pierced hands to bless us with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in his name and in his precious blood. The apostle then goes on, whereof I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. This is a very unusual or peculiar note of the kingdom of God. It certainly is not understood by the world, by the dead faces of the world. That each child of God may be minister, may be preacher. Each child of God has stepped forward to bless with the gospel. That power to relieve a sinner from his sin. The world would understand, does understand, and believe that before one could receive such an office, he should be schooled, he should be taught, he should be given experience, and so forth, before he would be given such an office. But this is one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which is hidden from the world. God has seen it to be this way. One reason can be that one must truly humble his heart under the mighty hand of God and receive his own sin forgiven, his own sin of unbelief forgiven, before he is given eyesight to see that each child of God is a precious part, a precious member of the kingdom. That each child of God carries in his heart that gift, that power of the Holy Spirit to release a sinner from his sin, to pronounce, to preach the living gospel. How good it is, brothers and sisters, that God has arranged his kingdom in this way. We do not have to go to some high office, to some high place, So she gave, confessed her father or mother. No, a confessor father or mother can be in the most lowly, most despised by the world. Mother or father, grandmother or grandfather, whatever it might be. One who has the Holy Spirit of God in his heart. This is sufficient. It is not with outward show, outward piety, but that true and sincere brother and sister who has the Holy Spirit, those hands which bless us are as the nail printed hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we believe that the power to release lies not in sinful man, but it is in the gospel, the words which are given and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And that forgiveness is from God Himself. So we are, each one of us, preachers and apostles, ambassadors of Christ, who, to our own everyday life and to our confession of faith, so oftentimes it is so weak and so poor, yet it is a light unto this sinful and dark world. These seeds of the word which are planted by the children of God are then given the increase by only God Himself. We do not have that power, nor do we need to burden ourselves with that responsibility, but that we, in all sincerity and humbleness, confess our faith, and especially with our own children, we wish to, with weak words and with poor examples, teach them and show them the preciousness of the kingdom of God, of those brothers and sisters of faith, and that we might one day reach that eternal day of rest. It is only for this purpose that you and I, brother and sister, are on this narrow way of life, that we might one day be able to lay down our cross and receive a crown. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We know how the apostles truly did suffer. They were persecuted, and many of them died a martyr's death. And Jesus himself also was persecuted. He was scoffed at, laughed at, and so forth. And then he also wants to remind us by his word that if they did this unto him, so they will also unto us. So we do with patience suffer these afflictions these persecutions, your flesh often trembles, often wants to fight back. But if we think of even that portion when the apostles had been brought before the high council, and then they were commanded that they should not preach in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were whipped and then set free. And we are told that the apostles went away rejoicing, thanking God and praising God that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. So we, brothers and sisters, must also be afflicted with many trials and temptations, especially you young who are still in school, where so often there are decisions where that you must make, that you seek guidance and counseling from your mothers and fathers and elders, that what is right and what is wrong. The Spirit of God in your heart reminds you and teaches you, warns you, and tells you to seek advice from the kingdom so that you would not be carried away with those who go the way of sin and death. And even by this weak confession and example, one who is on the outside might be given to see that there is something different, something special about a Christian, that he possesses something that he is not able to see. And it might cause him to seek for his undying soul. Hold fast the form of sound word which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I think of first these sound words which we as children of God wish to hold on to. In this way that we would not be led to turn to the ways of unbelievers, our fellow workers and classmates and so forth, by our words becoming partakers with them. I'm sure you all have experienced, first of all, the many filthy stories and jokes and whatever, which is so common in the world today. There doesn't seem to be hardly any shame or morality left. But with much openness, cursing and swearing, using God's name in vain, not to mention all the other filthy language and so forth. Let us turn away. Let us not become involved. Let us not even acknowledge the jokes and the filthy talk as to be something that we are partakers of or that we would enjoy, even though our fleshly ears are often turned to those matters. Yet the Spirit, even in these matters, wants to teach us that they are not fitting for a Christian, young or old, and that we would want to even rebuke those cursors and swears if God would give us our strength and words. Those sound words which we have heard are those words of the gospel which teach us on the way of righteousness, which lead us as children of God, which teach us and warn us of the danger of the sin which bring death. So, brothers and sisters, we want to commit ourselves to the keeping of the Holy Spirit, which is in the congregation of God, keeping our faith alive to the gospel truth, and in obedience, hearing and endeavoring to that word which is given unto us as a word of love and concern. Amen. Let us join in the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.